percent.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
With Rod Babers and Patrick Davis.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
Is there a problem back there?
HornFM.com and on the Horn app, The Horn, where Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to another edition of the Rodcast. Monday fun edition. Hope everybody out there had a great holiday weekend. Certainly a really fun holiday weekend for myself. We'll get into my man Patrick and what he did over the holiday weekend. It's been a long time. Glad to be back with you. But hope your 4th of July holiday was as great as mine. Hope you had a relaxing 4th of July weekend. And hope you got in some hot dogs. And hope you got a chance to be around some water. I know that's a big thing for some folks. Hope you got a chance to get on the grill. Whatever is your thing. We're back at it here on Monday. We got a lot to get into on the show. Of course, we had four days of sports that we didn't get into, so we'll try to look back a little bit. But big news in the NBA, the Spurs continue to make moves. We'll talk about that. They make a trade. Spurs are going to look a whole lot more competitive this upcoming season. We'll talk about that with our resident Spurs fan. We'll also get into some Cowboys news. There was a little Cowboys drama over the holiday break. Of course, there always is about Dak Prescott, but no drama. That was clarified. So we'll get into some Cowboys discussion coming up in the second hour of the show. We'll also go behind the burnt orange curtain. Longhorns lost out on a big recruit. Everybody was pretty confident that they were gonna get in the 2025 class. Big time recruit who decides to go to the Oregon Ducks, who are making a lot of moves. So we'll talk about that too coming up as we go behind the burnt orange curtain. Also, Longhorns did get a commitment though from a DB in the H-Town area. Actually, I know this young man, so we'll get into that too coming up a little bit later on in the show. We also have some NFL discussion. We'll dive into some NFL news, notes, and nuggets when we get into Rod's rant of the day. We got your usual favorites. We got what the facts, what the stats. We got the topic for the big fat poll of the day. We got off the record. We got who said that. So all your usual favorites on the show coming up. Before we do any of that, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He is one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. Got a hustler spirit, period. Not sure what he's paid, but I'm pretty damn sure the man is underpaid. Ain't no 401k for this hustler, and he's a hustle man of many talents. It's our friend, it's our co-host, it's our neighbor, it's Patrick Davis. Y'all, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be back on a Monday. Glad I showed up. Had the, you know, the good old wake up out of a dream where I was dreaming that I had overslept on Monday and forgot to reset the alarm because alarm was off over the last couple days, and then had that dream and then wake up and it's like it's 2:30 in the morning. I've not overslept at all. You're fine. You're fine. Just that fun of heart racing.
But then interrupted your sleep, interrupted your REM. You were deep in REM at the time.
I was deep in REM at that time. We got out of it. But I will say, I do have a great story that happened over the weekend. I have to give a shout out to a savior of ours over the weekend.
Okay, nice.
Went out on my friend's boat on Friday. He gets his boat. He goes, I'm picking my boat up from the shop. We're going to go down, launch it out. I hope you can come on down and hang out with us. So we went out. There's four or five of us on the boat. We're going out on the lake to have a day, and we pulled in the water. We're good. We take off. As we're going, we're like, something feels wrong. Like, the boat's not powerful enough, and then it's like, something's weird. It sounds wrong. Like, he just got out of the shop, so he's like, I don't know what's up. So we're like, something's wrong. So we slow down, and he goes and looks, and we're taking on water. We are sinking.
Oh,
this is like,
oh no,
20 minutes into the, like, 10 to 20 minutes into this, we are already sinking. We're like, this is not good. Like, something is wrong from the boat. So we go over and we pull off, like, over to where we're like, look, we just got to get to where if we sink, the water's not very high.
The
boat will just sit, you know,
near the shore. Just near the shore.
So we go over near the shore, and as we're sitting there trying to figure out what's happening, and he's calling the guy who worked on the boat to be like, what did you do that is somehow screwed up the boat? Well, he's calling, a guy comes up, and he's like, you can't be here. And we're like, oh, God. So we're going to deal with this. We're like, hey, man, I'm sorry, sir. We're sorry.
You can't be here.
We're like, we're sorry. We're sinking. So, like,
I know. Thank you. Did you let him know you were saying, sir, we obviously would not impose that we're sinking.
Once we did, guy's super nice, right? After we did, he understood what it was. I think he just had partiers there the day before or whatever else. You know, it's around 4th of July. So he was just like, I don't want you coming in here and playing music and drinking over here.
Yeah, I got you.
If you got a problem, it's fine. And so then he comes over, and then he's like, we're talking to him a little bit. We talk, and he walks away, and he comes back and helps us out with some. Then he goes, oh, you need this plug? He walks away, comes back with the exact piece we need that the mechanic forgot to put back. And he goes, here you go.
Oh.
And we go put it in. The boat drains out. We're good to go. We go out and have a day, and we're like, do you want any money or anything? He's like, no, just help out the next person. So shout out to David over there on Lake Austin who helped us out.
There you go. Pay it forward, baby.
Very nice guy. So shout out to David.
That's awesome.
That was
that's beautiful. So it was serviced, and then while they serviced, they forgot to put in that part, whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, the plug so your boat doesn't
sink. Yeah.
Pretty important piece
really
of
important.
The boat.
No, not just a minor, not a minor thing, just a really major thing. You know what? They probably want to get their 4th of July weekend started. They were probably ready.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys got some help from a nice dude, though. He was basically a boatman.
Yeah,
to have that part like that, you got to be a boat guy.
Yeah, because he just had an extra one, I guess, and was like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Either that, or he's lived there long enough, and he's like, this happens all the time.
There you go. What's his name?
David.
David. All right. Shout out to David, man. There you go, man. Hey, you know what? I love that. Then he told you just pay it forward. He's like, no, just pay it forward.
Just go help out.
That's all I need. You're good. There you go.
Yeah,
David in society.
That was our Friday, and then we had a decent Friday after that. It was fun after that. But yeah, that was a. It's a pretty drastic change of pace. If you go out on the lake and you're like, things are going to be fun today. We're going to have a good old time. And then, the boat might sink.
Did y'all have life jackets in there?
Yeah, we had life jackets on, but we weren't wearing it. We had time. It's not sinking like we're going down in 20 seconds.
You know what?
The more concerning part is also you're like, it's Lake Austin. You could swim out of Lake Austin. It's not the craziest part. I think the bigger part is you're like, well, all of our cell phones are ruined. And then the boat's under, like, this is going to cost us. This is like very thousands of dollars problem.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody's going to see you guys sinking, so somebody's going to they're just going to be filming the whole damn thing and not even really helping. Like, you know, look at these guys. Look at these dumbass. Look at these dudes. There you go. Yeah. No, that's good, though. There you go. Just a citizen that's willing to help. I love that. That's a beautiful story, man. Great story to start off the show. Great lesson.
Let me introduce you to my co-host, who's also a good citizen. He is a proud alumni of DBU. He's got more papers than Dunder Mifflin and watches more film than Siskel and Ebert. He is the new Rod Father of Austin Sports Radio, Mr. Rod Babers.
You know, I said, thank God you were just around a boat guy. The boat guy.
Hey.
It's like when they say something happens to your car, and then somebody who stops to help you, they're like, hey, you know, I'm a handy person. I basically know about cars. I know how to fix cars,
and this is rare
these days.
This is a friend of mine that we've had multiple instances over our friendship, which is 20-plus years of things happening and just, like, clicking in the right way. And you're like, of all the places we could have pulled off to the side, you pull off to the one where the guy walks out, and he's like, oh, I have the magical piece you need.
Yes, I have that piece. Yes, it could have been anybody else, and they'd be like, nah, sorry, I can't help you guys. I mean, that's, like I said, it was meant to be. It was serendipitous, I believe is the term. All right, good stuff there. All right, we'll get into my man Patrick for the headlines here, but keep in mind we're going to be getting into the Spurs, so we'll get a lot from Patrick because I want to get his thoughts about the Spurs' latest deal. They had a trade they made over the holiday break that we'll dive into a little bit. Also, we'll talk some Longhorn football. We usually don't talk recruiting, but that was a huge recruiting loss that the Longhorns took. That was being announced on July 4th, the number one receiver in the country. A lot of people thought going to Texas. I mean, he did bring, I want to say, he brought like 10 family members to the official visit for Texas. So, and he brought grandma. So the assumption was, oh man, bringing grandma, you know, bringing 10 members of your family to Texas. Oh, he's definitely going. And everybody I talked to thought that was a good chance. But, no, I mean, Phil Knight in Oregon, the sugar daddy up there, he worked his magic, and he's going to Oregon. So now there are a lot of people believing that Phil Knight, who is 86? Phil Knight's pretty old. If I'm not mistaken, he's like, he's getting up there, and that he basically has declared, at least that's the rumor, that, oh, no, before I pass on, we're going to get a national title here. Even if I have to spend some of these billions that I got here, that I've acquired from being the CEO of Nike, that we're gonna get it done.
Yes.
And that's just, I think Rick Neuhauser threw that out there. So that's not just a theory of mine. Rick Neuhauser, I believe, was talking, and he threw that out there.
Yeah, I mean,
and it
he,
makes sense, though.
He managed to be one of the people to help kill the Pac-12 and get Oregon over to the Big Ten, where he thought that it would give him a better chance to get to a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, he's a powerful man. I mean,
yeah. So,
there's no doubt about it. But, yeah, that's the working theory, and that's kind of why DeCorian Moore is a part of that story. So, I don't know. We'll discuss it. We'll talk about it. A lot of people think that Jerry Jones should be that. I mean, we could make that transition. A lot of people thought Jerry Jones, who's getting up there in years, you know, facing, you know, obviously the end of his reign as the Cowboys owner and general manager, that he would be, all right, you know what, desperation, hey, since mortality is staring me right in the face, I'm going all in. And that's not the case, really.
Well, he's got five more years before. He's only 81.
No, Jerry I know, Jones. But still,
he's got
well,
five
you're
more
80.
Years. No, he's got five more years to go all in, Rod.
I'm just saying, when you get to be like 80-something, these others are like, you know what? God bless us. You know, you're blessed if you get to 80, honestly. And they're billionaires, so they got a lot of resources, of course. But still, man, at that point, hey, man, Father Time, you know, it's undefeated. It's coming for you. And at 80-something years old, it can happen at any time. So you would think the desperation theory would apply, but it hasn't really applied to Jerry. So Jerry feels like he's got a lot of time. Jerry's in good shape, too, by the way. He's in great shape. He's still acquiring billions and billions every year, so he's getting richer and richer. So maybe Jerry believes, hey, I got some time here. That not the case for Phil Knight. Allegedly, the rumor is that, hey, he's going on. And their recruiting class kind of reflects that so far, their 25 recruiting class, which now has affected Texas' 25 recruiting class. Those Longhorns feel a certain kind of way about that. So we'll talk about it. All right, let's get into the Horn headlines first. Let's get updated. Let's get educated. Let's get informed on all the top stories of the day. Then we'll come back and discuss the Spurs trade. See, I told you guys the offseason was going to be really interesting for these Texas teams. Really, the Rockets are the only team that really hadn't done a lot, or at least made a splash. I have to say done a lot. It's made a splash. They tried. They tried to go after.
I think they're still trying.
They're still trying.
They're
okay.
Still trying.
Yeah. They're still trying. They just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Spurs already made a couple of moves. Spurs. See, the Spurs. I like what the Spurs are doing, though. They're still leaving themselves open for the Wimby window. But, hey, Spurs fans, they're made of a certain championship pedigree and DNA. And they're just not going to suck like that for too many years. They're not going to. That's just not the Spurs way. So we'll get into it. We'll talk to my man Patrick about it. But first, let's get to the Horn headlines with Patrick Davis.
All right, your Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the NBA, the Sacramento Kings acquire free agent DeMar DeRozan in a three-year, $74 million sign-and-trade deal. The Kings are trading Harrison Barnes in an unprotected 2031 pick swap to the San Antonio Spurs and Chris Duarte in two second-round picks to the Bulls to complete the deal. DeRozan, a six-time All-Star who will turn 35 next month, is coming off an impressive three-year scoring run with the Bulls, where he averaged 24 points last season. In the MLB, the Astros dropped their series to the Twins 2-1 after a Christian Vasquez walk-off home run on Sunday. The Astros are now 2 games back of Seattle for the lead in the AOS, with 2 more series to go before the All-Star break. Rodney Blanco will get the start for Houston when they return to action against the Marlins on Tuesday. And the Rangers swept the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend, including a dominant 13-2 win on Sunday. Corey Seager and Travis Jankowski both added 4 RBIs each, while Nathan Eovaldi pitched another solid start, going 7 innings, only allowing 2 runs. The Rangers begin a series with the Angels tonight, hoping to continue their winning momentum, with John Gray taking the mound. And that is your Horn headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn headlines. I'm sure that you love this move by the Spurs acquiring Harrison Barnes. I just assumed that was the case because now you're looking at a starting lineup that has not only Wimby and Devin Vassell and some of the other pieces you've been Sohan, some of the other pieces you've been building with pre-Wimby, but now you got some vets, CP3 and Harrison Barnes thrown in there too. Is that the starting lineup? First of all, I don't know if I'm just assuming the wrong. Is that kind of the projected with this? Is he a walk-in starter for them? Or maybe is he coming off the bench as a
You would assume he's going to start. They had a release to make some of these deals. They had to release their cap hold on Julius Champagne, who had been their starting small forward, taking Keldon Johnson off the bench. So Keldon might technically get more minutes than Harrison Barnes. We know that Harrison Barnes, when he was with Sacramento, they tried to get Keegan Murray to take over that role. They wanted to have a younger guy. Because Harrison Barnes is, he's one of those guys. He's a good player. He's a veteran. He's a good guy to get on your team. But he has reached his potential. You know what he's going to be. For a lot of years, there was hope that he was going to take this next step to become an all-star. He's not an all-star player. But he's still a good role player on your team. He's a good veteran now. He's 32 years old, I believe. So you bring him in. He's also got, I believe, a year or two left on his contract. So it's not long-term money that you're talking about bringing back with on it. And in reality, they gave up nothing for it. It's basically a free agent signing because you get a unprotected first round pick basically in a pick swap that if that pick is better than your pick in 2031, when you hope to be in prime Wimby area, you can go ahead and take whatever pick they get. So if the Kings are not there or Minnesota is not there, you have picks in 2031 that are unprotected. If either one of those guys happen to be in the lottery, you can be taking those picks from them. So you get something like that that's, free added in by just taking off the salary because they need a ditch salary to get DeMar DeRozan. And it doesn't necessarily take them out of the sweepstakes. If they still want to try and pursue a Lauri Markkanen or a player like that, they can still do that. The Lauri Markkanen conversations were not really ever about cap room so much as they were about which players they're willing to give up in the deal. I think that's one of the big pieces is the Spurs have the most players in that could be in a Lauri Markkanen deal, but they don't want to put in a Devin Vassell. And so when you say they don't want to add in that piece, that Utah's trying to get the most draft picks and players they can. That's what Danny Ainge does. He makes a lot of deals. But this is what the Spurs do is they go into trades, and they're the ones when you need it, you need some cap space and you need to find a place to send a player off. You find a place in San Antonio where this is something about what the Spurs have done, where they have coaches and staff and GMs and everybody who have been with the organization for years and years. And they do not have a history of firing general managers after 2 to 3 years and firing a bunch of front office staff, which means they're more willing to make trades to get unprotected picks for 5, 6, 7 years down the road. Yeah, because they think, I'm not worried about my job. And the GMs for Sacramento says, well, if I don't win right now and go get DeMar DeRozan and help my team get better, I don't care. I'm not going to be here in 2030. Give that pick away. They're firing me anyway. And I'll figure out if I get there and I'm still here, I'll figure it out then. But I don't care about those picks. And the Spurs are understanding picking those up. And then they become chips down the road where you hope to have that Wimby window open. And now you have a Wimby and a bunch of picks that you either use down the road to try and keep you under that second apron and keep yourself lower cap so you're not having to constantly overpay for free agents or stars. You can get free agencies. You can get new players in through the draft. I think it's a good trade because you didn't give up anything. Somebody who is better than a free agent you were going to get in the market. Yeah. You were able to get somebody in who gives another veteran presence. Chris Paul, they officially made that signing when free agency actually opened. They made that deal, so it's official now. Chris Paul will be there. You're able to bring in now some more help to help out some of these younger guys and bring a little bit more stability to the Spurs team that had a lot of young guys where the ceiling wasn't really huge, but they're playing for their next contract in a big way. So they maybe aren't playing the best role player team basketball at times because they have to make sure their stats are good. They're trying to prove what they can be. They're still trying to figure out the player they are. A guy like Harrison Barnes knows the player he is.
Yep. He's plateaued already.
Yeah, and so he's not necessarily sitting there. Would he love to get another contract and get paid again? Yes.
Yeah.
but is he? No, he's not changing too many people's minds about it. Whereas a Julian Champagny or a Dominic Barlow and all these guys, they're really good players because they're hungry. But when you talk about trying to play competitive playoff basketball, at some point you need to have guys that aren't all, your whole team can't all be trying to get that first big contract. They can't all be trying to get there. You have to have guys, some veterans who are already kind of established and know where their game is. So I think it's a big pickup for the Spurs to continue to build this team in a way where you didn't have to give up anybody to bring in a Harrison Barnes. And now you can work with it where if you're making a trade for some other player, you can put Harrison Barnes back in. If you make that trade soon enough, you can add him into that trade to make salaries work. Or you can keep Harrison Barnes and keep him on your roster and have a good another piece that is going to be able to help you out. Most likely, I'd say, would be a starter along with Chris Paul. You bring Keldon Johnson off the bench like you did last year to give you a spark. We saw Stephen Castle at his first Summer League game over the weekend. He played one of the two games they played over the weekend. And his defense looked really good. His ball handling looked really good. The shooting for the Spurs all weekend in Summer League was not good. But his shooting wasn't terrible. It just wasn't, you know, none of them were shooting well. And a lot of teams were not shooting well in Summer League in California. We'll see a little bit more in Vegas if they play a little bit better. But he looked like he's a guy who could be able to go in there and work with Chris Paul. So it is. It's an entertaining look at what the Spurs could be doing. And for a lot of Spurs fans who just wanted to make sure they did something this offseason instead of just extending that, you know, the rebuild. And especially in a draft where so many teams are going to be tanking this year, there's a lot of teams in that Cooper Flag sweepstakes that they think that this is a really strong draft, and there's a lot of teams that could be trying to get into those picks. The more teams you have of that, like Brooklyn literally traded away one of their best players to just get their pick back in this year so they could tank and go try and get a pick. So that's what's going to happen with a lot of teams. You don't necessarily want to be in that mix. You figure in that mix, okay, now we can maybe work our way back up and see if we can get into that playoff talk. But the West is just stacked. Because Sacramento now, who's in that, you know, lower tier of the playoffs, they just add DeMar DeRozan. And so their offense is looking to be really, really good. That was a question, was whether the Spurs were going to get Harrison Barnes or Kevin Huerter in this trade. That was kind of the talk. I don't know if they were trying to get one or the other. But Kevin Huerter was the other name that would have made salaries worked out.
With the way the team looks now as constructed, like you said, they still can make other moves, and hell, they probably will. Do you think they compete for a play-in team?
Yeah, I think that's the goal is around a play-in team. Now, the question is, you know, does Golden State make
the West is a beast.
Yeah, because if Golden State makes a move for Lauri Markkanen and they're able to bring that out and he plays well with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and they're able to make it and make a push for that play-in, we know the Lakers are around a play-in team this year as well. Like there's just a lot of good teams. The Rockets are going to be right there. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we talk about Utah, depending on what they do, if they get rid of Markkanen, but they're similar around in that spot. There's just a lot of good teams that are right in that area of there's 10 good teams in the West. I mean, you could probably go 12 deep in the West right now and still say they're decent teams, and it could be play-in teams especially. New Orleans is another one you have to worry about, seeing what they're going to do. They brought in some more people, and then, you know, there's talk that they're going to trade Brandon Ingram, which, you know, you want the Spurs to trade for Brandon Ingram solely in the fact so they could have drafted Harrison Ingram's and then traded for Harrison Barnes and Brandon Ingram and just confused everybody with that. But
yeah, what are the Clippers now without Paul George? Is that
the Clippers now? But they still have Kawhi Leonard. If he is healthy, he'll still be there.
Be a player,
And, I mean, they're still looking to trade Russell Westbrook, so we can see what they make a move for there. But they still have James Harden and Kawhi Leonard on that team, so they can still score and play defense. It's just where they're going to be. There's just a lot of really good teams in the West, so it's going to be difficult. But what you want to do is the same thing LeBron wanted to do every single year, which is just get me to the playoffs, and then we have star players, and star players can excel in these places. Can we get to the playoffs? And that's, I think, when you have a guy like Wimby, say, we just want to get Wimby to the playoffs. And then
he's had experience, so he can get that experience.
Well, he can get the experience, but you never know what can happen. I'm not trying to make any bold predictions or anything like that. But I'm simply saying the line, when you start talking about a guy like Wimby, that he's a guy that you go, well, once you put him in and you put him in the right matchup, if a team doesn't have someone to stop him, the same way Jokic is, if you don't have a guy to stop Jokic, then he's a 40 and 10 and 20 guy, a 40-20-10 guy a night against you in the playoffs because you just don't have an answer for him. And Wimby's going to provide that matchup threat to teams that if you're not ready to stop him, it could be a problem. I'm not saying for this year, but as you keep going, you just want to get in the mix.
Yeah, I think this year, get to the play-in just for the experience. Like, it'd be great to get Wimby something. And I think to showcase Wimby, I think we all want to see Wimby in the postseason. And one thing that the Spurs do that's becoming kind of a cheat code is, and I saw this great article about this, about the pick swaps, how many pick swaps they have. So basically over the next seven drafts, there are currently 20 first-round picks in the next seven drafts that are currently owed via pick swaps. And nine of those are controlled by the Spurs and the Thunder.
Yep.
These pick swaps, and they love them. I mean, and because they're essentially a little bit of a loophole in a couple of ways. First of all, it said here that a lot of teams when trading them, they don't have a, for some reason, they don't feel the need to protect them. So you have a lot of unprotected pick swaps, which the Spurs do. They got a ton of unprotected, and you can kind of break down why that's so valuable. And also pointed out here that they're not subject to the Stepien rule, which is when you can't have back-to-back seasons without a first-round pick. Like they will offset them. Like they'll skip a year every time they talk about trading those first-round picks. And the other reason they talked about here is that basically, the Wimby, say it five times fast, Wimby window. Yes. The Wimby window, and the Spurs are just being, right now, that it gives them flexibility about when they want to start executing the Wimby window.
Yeah, and it gives them flexibility in when you talk about, you know, having three picks in 2030.
Yes.
Well, you can trade two of them and still keep one unprotected pick from somebody else and keep your pick. And you still have two picks in 2030, and you've traded two picks in 2030. So you can still acquire something with those picks and have picks to try and build a team with your when your window's running and when you're trying to make a dynasty as opposed to a 5 to 6 year run.
Yep. Yeah. No, because they got two in 2030, one in 2031. Spurs got, I think they had one in 2026, and they got one in 2028.
Yeah.
So they're staggered. They got them kind of staggered, and they got them in different places. So they don't know when the Wimby window is going to hit either. Who knows when he's going to start becoming a dominant player and when he's going to start flourishing. They don't really know the blueprint around them just yet. I like them putting veteran guys who've played in the playoffs, who've played in, you know, deep in the postseason around them, though. Veterans like Harrison Barnes and Pop has coached Harrison Barnes, actually, in the Olympics, too.
Yes.
Was that back in the day, he coached him in the Olympics.
And this is the unprotected picks thing is really relatively new because you never used to get unprotected picks. And I think that basically at some point the prevailing thought, and this is probably an analytical thing, where what are the odds – that if you protect it top three and that makes the trade not go through, what are the odds you're actually going to have that top three pick? So if you if we're going to risk not having this trade because we possibly could be so bad and win the lottery to be a top three pick, it doesn't, you know, screw it. We'll just take the risk of that happening. And what Sam Presti in Oklahoma City and Pop and
which are from the same tree. They're all same executive tree.
Yeah, and Buford and all those guys, if they want to do that for the Spurs, those guys have long-term relationships with those teams. They have been running those teams for a long time, and they understand that most teams and general managers will leverage their future. That's 5-6 years down the road. That seems silly. We're not going to be – who cares? We'll be figured out then. But that's when they realize, we don't want your unprotected pick next season. That doesn't do us very much good because we know you're going to be good because we just gave you another player and we just helped you out. Yeah. So we want your pick down the road.
We're taking a gamble on your window
the same way you're gambling on your window.
Yeah,
we're both
going to
take that gamble, and we're going to gamble you're not going to be there. Yeah. And that this team may be in a rebuild mode, but not wanting to be, like how Brooklyn got, like how Atlanta is right now, that they love to rebuild, but they gave up everything for DeJounte Murray, so they don't own their own picks. And DeJounte Murray's not even on the team anymore. DeJounte Murray's in New Orleans now. Yeah. So, you know, there's these reasons that people are giving them more and more and more. It seems like it's going to be a bad thing. If anybody doesn't know what the Stepien rule was, there was an owner for the Cavs back in the day named Stepien, and he basically traded away all the Cavs picks for a decade, and they got worse because he missed on every single trade he made.
And then the fans got hopeless because they were like, well, we'll never bring it in the first
round.
And
so they
pick.
Basically made him sell the team, and they had to give them back first-round picks, like give them fresh picks because he had ruined the franchise trading because he just made bad trades. And didn't care about the future and thought, well, we're going to win now. I'm going to buy the team, we'll win, and I'll sell it, and I'll make all this money. And he just was an idiot. So, at least in basketball. And so that was the way they made the rule that you could not leverage your franchise that way. At some point, somebody figured out the loophole, which is the trade swap, the pick swap.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah,
you didn't which you still have one. A first-round pick, but you get the better one. And sometimes those pick swaps, they don't happen. Because you know, Spurs have a pick swap in 2026, and what if that team is, you know, has the 30th pick and we have the 28th? Well, we're going to keep the 28th. We don't need to swap it. You get to pick if you swap it or not. So it doesn't always work out, and that's another one of those gambles. But the unprotected ones, those are, I mean, they can come back to bite you. But you could still get a protected. The Raptors pick that turned out to be the 8th pick that now turned into two unprotected picks. From the Timberwolves, a pick and a pick swap from the Timberwolves and Rob Dillingham. That was a pick. That was a pick that was top six protected, I believe, and it was our top seven.
And
protected.
That's what I love about how they hedge it too. It's like, all right,
was top seven protected,
top five protected on this thing. And, I love that.
And
great.
They tanked to get to be the point where the odds would say that they would be the seventh pick, and then they lost in the lottery and were the eighth pick, and the Spurs got the pick instead. So there's way crazy ways of this happening, but that was a protected pick, and the Spurs still end up getting it, but it was top seven protected, became the eighth pick in the draft.
I know. That's what I said. I love how that basically that gamble. You can like, all right, you know what? Let's protect it up until this point. We believe, you know, right outside of that, we'll be okay. And it didn't always work out in your favor, but it is definitely a loophole that the Spurs are taking advantage of. And like you said, I love you brought up that they have something a lot of these other, you know, organizations don't have is stability at the top and in the front office. So the Spurs can afford to make these, you know, these calculated risks down the line. These other guys are like, man, I'm not going to – and they're right. I'm not going to be here in 4 or 5 years. Like, there's no point in me making these long-term plans for roster construction for this team because I won't be here to execute them. And they're right. I mean,
and
that's just the reality
of it. Especially
if I
don't win.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I win, then I have a little bit more window because I've won a championship or something like that. Yeah. So now the owner will give me a little bit more leverage. And when I don't have those picks, we'll figure it out then. But I'll be working somewhere else because I'll just say, well, I'm going to go take this job now. Or I can be like Bob Myers in Golden State and go work for ESPN. When I realize I've leveraged Golden State to the hilt, we're building a team where we can't keep this alive. Well, I'm not going to sit through the bad Golden State years. I'll go work on ESPN.
Or you got to have that owner because OKC's kind of got an owner who's willing to just, hey, I'm willing to be patient. And those are rare. Those are really, like you said, unless you are made man, the Spurs, they've already won titles. You get it.
But that's also more small market because small market, you don't necessarily have big, brash owners who come in and want to win right away because you're not going to buy a small market team if you're a big, brash owner.
You're not the big media putting pressure on you. That's a good point. You're right about that. All right, good stuff there. Good breakdown there, Patrick. All right, we come back. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll talk about the AL the Longhorns took on the recruiting trail. We'll talk about the win they also got recently on the recruiting trail. We'll also dive into something that I was looking at in terms of Texas transition to the SEC. I've been looking at all these numbers about Texas transition to the SEC. We'll talk about Texas in close games. All that and more when we come back right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into some Texas football conversation. If we have time, I'll jump into the stats that I was looking at about Texas in close games heading into the SEC. But first, I want to get into this this quote I saw from, I believe it was from College Football Sirius XM. That's exactly where it was from. And they were talking about recruiting. And talk about Oregon, because Oregon's made a lot of splashes in recruiting. And we know over the holiday weekend, July 4th, DeCorian Moore, who a lot of Longhorn fans, including myself, I remember I said on these arrows, I said, oh, they'll get him. He's the number one receiver in the country. And I thought, no, oh, Texas will get him, because I saw the picture of him having 10 family members at the recruiting visit, brought grandma to the recruiting visit. I've never seen that before. I asked every recruiting insider, my man Jerry Hamilton, I asked him about it. I asked Bobby Burden, CJ Vogel, the guys over at Owen Texas Football. I was like, have you ever seen somebody bring that many people to a recruiting visit? They were like, no, that's never happened before. And then grandma, you don't bring grandma to a recruiting visit unless, you know, it's going to be serious. So I assume, hey, Texas had it. And I believe a lot of the insiders also had Texas, had them going to Texas, had them winning their recruiting battle. That was not the case. That was a win for Oregon. He announced it on July 4th. And then I saw this quote from Rick Neuheisel, who, by the way, recruited me. Rick Neuheisel was the coach at the University of Colorado when I was being recruited in 99. And I went there for a visit. I loved me some Rick Neuheisel. I thought he was great. Made the right decision going to Texas. But Rick Neuheisel on ESPN's College Football XM, he said he was at a recent coaches event. And he said, it's no secret Phil Knight is supplying Oregon unlimited NIL resources. Rick said Phil is 86 and he desperately wants to see a championship, so they're willing to pay whatever it takes. Now, I know there's some other reports that, you know, maybe Texas offered more and, you know, no pun intended, for DeCorian Moore, the number one receiver in the country. Or I think Oregon, I don't know, from what I've heard, I believe Oregon offered more, but nobody knows, by the way. Nobody but DeCorian Moore and his agent, whoever's representing him in Oregon. That's the only people who actually know. Anybody who's actually saying they don't, they really don't know. Unless they have that inside information, yeah. That's really tough. All right, most of that's just speculation.
Yeah.
But what we do know is Oregon on a recruiting trail last week. I mean, they got the number one receiver in the country, the number four cornerback, Dorian Brew, who's also a five-star. They got the number three tight end in the country, number five running back, number seven defensive lineman, another loss that Texas took, Josiah Sherman on the recruiting trail. So it's not just about Texas. I'm not freaking out about Texas recruiting. Patrick, a lot of people are freaking out because they're taking some L's on the recruiting trail. And I'll tell you why I think Longhorn fans are freaking out about it. But I think more of the story is if Phil Knight – and I don't know what Phil Knight is worth. I haven't even looked it up. I know he's worth enough. But if Phil Knight wants to go ultimate sugar daddy, and there are directives and collectives, he is a directive. It's just one, all right, one booster or a donor deciding, yeah, hey, I am going to use my money to fund, you know, this NIL project, whatever it may be. And then there's collectives, and Texas has both, and Texas has a lot of both. But make no mistake about it. If Phil Knight decides that he wants to go all in on NIL with the power of Nike and the money, he can – with Dan Lanning, who I think is a good coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're damn right. They could make some noise, and they could – he could fund them to competing for a national title. There's no doubt, especially in the 12-team college football playoff. They're going to be in. I mean, they – with their talent, looks like right now, they're going to be in. And they could end up making some noise, man. Trust me. They still got the cool factor, and they got a sugar daddy, and they also might have now potentially unlimited NIL resources. Texas has a lot of NIL. I don't know if Texas has unlimited. They could, but I don't know if Sark wants to. We know Sark has said several times, basically, that he's basically doesn't want players who want to prioritize NIL over everything else.
Yeah. Well, I think Sark is also, again, looking long term and looking at a sustainable program of, if I ask for all this money every single week and I don't win at all, it's not just making the playoffs, because if I need everyone to double their contributions, then that doubles the expectations.
Oh, yeah.
No. And so I can get where, you know, if you're saying I have to go out to these big, you know, I have to get everybody up there, and then that's just to win these battles, and then still anything can happen. Anything can happen in college football. You say you have an injury late in the season. Well, that's okay. It. And there goes, you know, $100 million because, you know, you had that injury late in the season and, you know, you just it's hard to get over. So I think that you can plan into it, and I think you can plan correctly and say one player is not going to make or break us being able to get there. If we build the right team, we can go ahead and get ourselves in a position where we need to be. I mean, Oregon's in that great space right now because you have Dan Lanning, who's not only a really good coach, but he's also a great salesman. He's been a great recruiter in his time at Oregon already.
That's part of it,
you
too.
Put that in there with the sales pitch of not only an NIL opportunity, but a deal with Nike where you can say this can be a start of a 20-year relationship, a 40-year relationship with Nike, where you can be making money on shoes with us until you're 50, 60 years old. That relationship is something that if you just even talk about money, you know, where the money's the same, but there's talk of it, you're starting a deal with a shoe company that we think you're going to the NFL, and then you can get your own signature shoes in the NFL, and here's this plan laid out for you. That changes, you know, more than just what money can do, because now you're talking about a plan, about marketing, about everything else to grow your image. So I get it. It's going to be a big plan. And, you know, Oregon's going to make their run in these next couple of years. They're also having to deal with the fact that they're about to enter the Big Ten, and that's going to be a different kind of experience for them, where they were playing in the Pac-12, where their team was very much built for the Pac-12, and they're going to have to spend money to change up what they're doing a little bit to fit into what the Big Ten does. But yeah, it's I think, you know, you can get upset with it if you're a Texas fan that you're losing out, or get a little bit worried that you're missing out on some of these guys. Until I see it demonstrably hurt Texas, I wouldn't be as worried about it. I think Sark still has a plan. I think they understand where they're going with it. So you like to win. You know, you've had a lot of recruiting W's recently at the University of Texas. You want to keep that going. You never want to lose momentum. But I haven't seen it be bad enough yet that I would be worried about it.
I think what's ultimately happening, like I said, it's not really. It's more. I think the story is more about Oregon than it is about Texas.
I agree.
Texas fans are upset, but I think it's more about Phil Knight is deciding, hey, I'm all in on NIL. What's that look like, and how much is that? Because that could kind of shift the power balance in college football. It's just temporarily. If he's deciding, no, I'm going all in. I'm 86. I figure I got 3-4. You know, good years left here. I'm going for these 3-4 years. I'm going to make Oregon a power because NIL gives me the ability to do so. And then you could see, like I said, you could see a reaction around the country from potential billionaires who decide, you know what? All right, you know what? I'll be the directive. I'll be the ultimate sugar daddy here. I'll fund the program. Y'all aren't doing enough. And then you can see this arms race around the country with big programs and big boosters. Who's the biggest booster of them all? Like there's, and then that could, and you know what? I think the universities, I mean, they would benefit, but I think you would see the separation then of who has the most, like, big money boosters, like not just big billionaire money, billionaire boosters. Like, who's got? I mean, there are a lot of billionaires, guys. There are only so many.
Yeah,
you can go measure, but there are some, and there's so many, only so many that are alumni of these major programs, and then that's where you get another. We talking about arms, you talking about another separator, where you can get billionaires. It's like, nah, I'm be the sugar daddy.
There's not as many billionaires who are willing to throw a lot of money at a thing that will make them no money.
Yes,
and that is something that we see a lot of billionaires. The reason they're billionaires is because they don't spend their money willy-nilly.
They spend it wisely.
Yes.
Yeah, and their money makes money for them, and NIL, not necessarily that. But like I said, it's more of a arms race, but not necessarily one that gives you ROI.
But I think those are the ones, you know, with Phil Knight. Yeah. He's 86. He knows what it is. That train runs out at some point.
He's got kids. He's got family.
He does, but
my thing, if you're billionaires, my thing is, billionaire throwing 20, 30 million at NIL is not gonna hurt him. So that's my point is, they can do it. Yes. The billionaires, it doesn't hurt them. It really it doesn't hurt them at all. Like a billionaire can literally throw $100 million at in a, unless he's just super greedy and it's like, hey man, all of my money needs to make money. It's come on man, that's funny money for them. They really can do it just to, obviously for their ego, and for the program that they love, and that's the situation that he's in. But I will say this: I think Longhorn fans ultimately disappointment for you guys. I think the disappointment is. Everything has gone your way this offseason.
Yeah.
Right? You went to the college football playoff. Xavier Worthy set the 40-yard dash record at the combine. Yeah, 11 guys drafted. Arch Manning was great the spring game. Quinn Ewers is on the cover of the video game. And the belief was that, and I think it's a justified one, and a rational one, was that all that momentum will definitely carry over into recruiting, and it really hasn't. It's not saying it won't, but it hasn't necessarily translated into recruiting wins. And I think the natural thought process was that, man, with so much winning, Texas getting so much love, oh man, recruiting, we're gonna kill it. Because think about what we've been doing without all of this momentum. Oh, this momentum is naturally, it's gonna be a tidal wave of recruiting wins, and it just it's just kind of the same as it was last year. It's like,
yeah.
So it's, I think that's what, psychologically, that's what it is. There's been so much positivity. It was just expected to carry over, and it just hasn't. And that's okay.
No,
just hasn't yet.
You always want to see growth, and when growth stops, even if it's at a great level, you still want to see it continue to grow.
Yes, exactly.
And I get, but I think there's been enough shakeup in college and everything's happening that none of this stuff ever seems to last forever. So, we don't know. To college football, too, and the whole grand scheme of it is going to be changing a lot over the next few years anyway with revenue sharing and what we figure out what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it doesn't – I guess I did not have the same expectations that all of a sudden it was going to be – Texas was going to be the number one recruiting class every year. I think you're still in that piece of you just need to be in that top 10 recruiting class, top 5 recruiting class every year. And then you have a really good coach and coaching staff and culture, and you build all that, and that's how you win titles, because the number one recruiting class every year doesn't necessarily lead you to titles.
No. I mean, Michigan, I think, had a blue chip ratio of 54% or something like that when they won the national title. So, no, you're right. It's about development of that talent and the culture. All right, good stuff there. We come back. We'll get into the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day on the other side and learn more about our musically themed day of the week right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
Back here on the Rodcast on a Monday, and that means it's a Smooth Soul Monday, playing some Smooth Soul to get your week started right, ease you back into the work week, get you ready. I know if you were like us, you got a nice long weekend, which makes it a little bit harder to come back on a Monday, but we're all headed back to work on a Monday after a holiday weekend, so we hope you had a great time, but easing you back in with a Smooth Soul Monday. Let's get to the Big Fat Poll of the Day today. I'll get you back in there. We'll post it up on X here in just a minute, but you can also text in 512-447-3776.
Patrick's Big Fat Poll of the Day on the Horn.
Big Fat Poll of the Day. We said in the Horn headlines, DeMar DeRozan is in Sacramento. He is going to the Kings. And that basically is your last big-name free agent that is going to be out there. There's still several free agents who will make a difference next season, but your big-name free agents, there wasn't a lot in this class. He is going to be one of the last ones that you're going to find. So we will say, this will be added lead to the Big Fat Poll today, which big free agent signing will make it further in the playoffs next season? So which one of these big signings, Chris Paul to the Spurs, Klay Thompson to the Mavs, Paul George to the Sixers, DeMar DeRozan to the Kings, which one of them actually helps their team make it further in the playoffs next year? We know Chris Paul, even if they make the play-in, they're probably not making it further, even though he could be a big addition and help out. We're not talking about which takes a bigger leap. We're saying which one gets you further in the playoffs. So the Mavs, who make it to the finals last year, do they make another run with Klay and puts them there? Is Paul George and the Sixers, does that put them in the elite? Can they compete with Boston and get further in? Are they going to be able to be a top seed and not have to play Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals? Either one of those questions. And in the Kings, is that high-powered offense is what they're trying to build over there with De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Keegan Murray is a better offensive player last season. You add in now DeMar DeRozan, who was averaging 24 points plus a game last season. All of those pieces. Which one of those free agent signings are going to make it further in the playoffs next season?
That is a good question. Right now I have to think about that. Because the Mavs, I mean, in the West, as good as the West is, they still made a run because Luka and Kyrie were that good.
And the seeding worked out for him. I know you beat a Clippers team that, you know, you got into it, but there was some injuries. Kawhi wasn't healthy the full time. But you match up well enough with them. You figure it out. You get through that. You play an OKC team that I don't know if you beat them again this season. That team is going to be better next year. They added in Alex Caruso. They added in Hardenstein. They're a better team next season. If you play Denver, you probably don't win that series because you don't have a big man that could have sat down and played with Jokic in that way. But you end up with a Minnesota team that is able to be built to be a Denver killer.
Yeah.
That kills Denver, but then wasn't built to beat the Mavs. So the Mavs go on that run, but the seeding helped them out the way they were able to go through. They played a heck of a season. Can they repeat that again? That is a big question. Paul George going to Philly. No one still believes that playoff Paul George is going to be able to take them over the edge.
And Embiid hadn't stayed really that
healthy. He has not stayed healthy.
That worries me, too, about them. And then Boston, man, they're just so good. They're just
Boston's
so
really good.
Oh, that is a great – it really is a good question because the Mavs are really a team that – I just wonder, man, how does that Klay Thompson experiment work? And if it works out really well.
And can they?
I don't know if the Sixers have enough.
Because right now. And you worry about the Mavs, or you wonder with the Mavs, I should say. Is this a team that is going to be consistently there because Luka Doncic is one of the top three players in the NBA? Are they going to be consistently in that conversation at the top of the West? Yeah. Or did it just kind of work out and they got hot at the right time and they slide back down? And then they'll stay in the playoff teams. They're still a good team. But if they're back in the 5-6 seed again next year, are they going to be able to keep getting over that hump? Does Lively progress and become a better player next season, a bigger piece of it? Or does you lose a little bit because teams play him a little bit better? You know, what do you find to work for you as the seasons go on once teams start to figure out what you do?
Yeah, and you're right about the Kings too. I mean that's a team that a couple of years ago was considered to be that young team ascending and going to make that jump, and then it withered away for some reason.
They're never able to. It's a smaller market team again, where you say this is a team that hasn't really been able to bring in free agents, hasn't been able to get that guy to get over the hump, and so DeMar DeRozan is not necessarily the guy you would think is the guy to get you over the hump. But you need to put something in there.
Do something. Yeah.
You need to add another big piece. You drafted Keegan Murray. You hope he gets better next year as well, and maybe everything starts to come together. But yeah, it's difficult. And then the Spurs with Chris Paul is an interesting piece. And, you don't know what Wimby's going to be going into next season. You don't know what this team, with a little bit more veteran mentorship, are they really that 22-win team that needs a ton and ton of work to be able to get to where they need to be? Or is this a team that underperformed last season because of minutes restrictions, because of some poor decisions early on? Were they a team that really should have been a 30-win team last season? Still not a playoff team, but a 30-win team. And then the jump from 30-win team to 45-win team is a little bit easier to think of than a 22-win team to a 45-win team.
Yeah. That's good stuff. All right, we'll get into more about the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day. We'll come back. We'll dive into some Cowboys drama. There's always some Cowboys drama. And, of course, over the holiday weekend, there are some Cowboys drama. We also have Raj Rant of the Day. Several different ways I could go for Raj Rant of the Day. It'll be NFL-related, football-related. I promise you that. We'll do that on the other side right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Weber's coming back on the horn.